Listen, why don't you grab your Bibles tonight and open them to Ephesians chapter 2. And we continue what is really part two of the message called Master Moses, Meet Father Abraham. And I know that's a funny title, but it's very important that we understand it. And that is Master Moses, the lawgiver, Moses, the great patriarch of the rules and regulations of God's rule and reign and mandate to humanity concerning what we should do and the standard of God. When God gave Moses the law, He gave to man the standard of what he would accept into heaven. It was the absolute perfect law. And it's given in Exodus chapter 20 concerning the great Ten Commandments that when Jesus came and spoke, He interpreted the law. And when He did that, He said that the law came through Moses, yes. But the truth of the matter is, it wasn't just to the Pharisee and the scribe and to the nation of Israel that if they didn't physically do this, but they did physically do the other, and they thought they did all of the things right, which they really weren't doing, but let's say they felt like they were living a right and just life. I haven't broken the Ten Commandments. Maybe a good Jew would say, I've been really right on about the whole thing. Jesus comes on the scene, who in fact is God in human form, the Son of God, second person of the Holy Trinity of God. Jesus comes on the scene and He says, well, let me tell you, as we covered last week, the fact and the truth of the matter is, it's not what you do or what you don't do. He said, the truth is what's in your heart. He said, you may never have committed adultery physically, but if you've thought it, you're guilty of it. That's how perfect the law is. You go, well, that's not all that nice. You know, that's pretty scary. Well, the whole thing was that Jesus Christ was giving to us the law that it was spirit as well as truth. And it discerned and revealed the intents of the heart. Very important. Now, Abraham comes on the scene much earlier than when the law was given. And God establishes a wonderful relationship with Abraham all through faith. And all through this thing of justification by faith alone. Abraham was saved before the law ever came. People, listen, those of you, we've been mentioning it. Those of you struggling in a legalistic relationship with God. I know after last week, some of you coming out of, some of you still in cults. And you're visiting here tonight or you're coming on Wednesday nights? Listen, you're to be commended for your zeal. You are very zealous and you try very hard. But the fact of the matter is, you have failed even to meet the standard of somebody like Nicodemus. You've even failed to meet the standard of somebody like Paul the Apostle. You look at his achievements as a good Jew, and we couldn't meet up to his standards, and you're not doing it now, and we're not going to make it. And so what do? The Scripture says that by the keeping of the law, no flesh shall be justified in God's sight. We're not going to make it by keeping the law, because the fact of the matter is the law can't be kept. Well, so do we throw it to the wind? No. Paul says, we acknowledge that the law, it is holy, just, and good, and it's a great thing. But the law must be used properly. Paul the Apostle tells us throughout the book of Romans, but specifically Romans chapter 7, he tells us that it is the law that condemns all men under sin. Man. Well, don't get too wrapped up into that depressing thought, because the next chapter after chapter 7 in the book of Romans is chapter 8, which is one of the most liberating revelations you could ever touch. The law, as we mentioned before, was to drive you to a place of saying, I can't do this anymore. I've been trying so hard. I was baptized. I was this. I got my confirmation. I was to communion. All this went through. I went door to door. I knocked on every door I could find. I went through my missionary time. I did my 2 years. I pumped my bike all over these hills. And inside, there's still an emptiness. There's still a void in my heart, and I don't have the assurance that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Well, the good news is, Jesus Christ has come and to give us that life, and it's absolutely abundant in and through Him. And it's free. And it cannot be earned. That is why God established a relationship with Abraham by faith before the law ever came along. That's why it's silly, futile, and frustrating for you and I to try to approach God on a legalistic basis. It doesn't work. So Master Moses really needs to meet Father Abraham. And here's the deal. Remember growing up on your block, on your street? Kind of a weird thing. Seems like every street that any of us grew up on, there's a bully on the street. And some of you were the bully. And that's okay. But some of us weren't the bully. But on that street, on my street, there was Bobby Kelly. And he was a great guy because he was a great guy. I liked him because he did everything I asked him to do. So I liked being around him. Then there was Bobby Schroeder, lived next door. He's just a fun guy. He's crazy. And it's funny because when I was in a certain mood, I'd play with Bobby. And then when I was in a certain mood, I'd play with Bobby Kelly. Or Bobby Schroeder, or Danny up the street. But on the street, always on the street, there's somebody. And I had one on my street where the guy was just like the monkeys at the zoo with the monkeys picking on the other monkey's back. What do you got there? What do you got there? You ever seen those monkeys on the thing? You know what I'm talking about? Where you go to the zoo and the monkeys, they're swinging around having a great time, but there's always a couple off in the corner. And the one guy's like trying to relax and eat his banana and kick back, and the other monkey's picking on his back, taking the little fleas off of him. What do you got to do? And there's somebody like that on every street growing up. And maybe in every house. You know what? You got this wrong with you right here. And you know what? And then picking again. What is it? And that's how Moses, I think, had a tendency by revelation to maybe be like. You know what? You stepped at, that's number 9. That's 8. You stepped at a line over there on that one right there. Moses knew the law. God had given him the law, and the holiness of the law was so great on the mountain. And it was so vivid in his eyes. And there's a tendency to be so consumed with the law that rather than applying it to your life, Romans chapter 2 talks about, and Romans 3, you wind up self-justifying and imposing it on others, and you're wondering, how come you're not doing that, huh? And that's how Moses might have been on his street, but then Abraham comes along. And Abraham and Moses, I don't know if they would have gotten along, though they were loved by God. They're totally different kind of ministries. Maybe a very legalistic ministry, maybe a very gracious ministry over here on this side. The beautiful thing is the Lord's calling us to a relationship in grace with Him. So we are in Ephesians chapter 2. I just remembered that just now. And the whole chapter, by the way, is in relation to grace that saves us. And so we covered last time verse 8, and then we'll hit 9 right now. But in verse 8, he says, "For by grace you have been," past tense, it's done, "saved through faith." And? No. It goes on to say, "and that not of yourselves." That's true. But there's some people that you and I might know, or maybe we've come out of a denomination or a background or something where it says, "for by grace you have been saved through faith and baptism." No, that's not what the Bible teaches. By grace you have been saved, but now that you've been saved, you got to work your tail off, partner, to keep it that way, to keep it safe. No, that's not what the Bible says. "For by grace you have been saved, plus," in Portuguese, it's nada. Nada. That sounds like nothing, doesn't it? Nothing. In Southern California slang, it's zip. In Russian, it's нет. That sounds like no, nothing, doesn't it? Faith plus no way, nothing. And the moment we begin to attach some works onto that thing, we have to take an eraser and erase faith off the formula. And don't you dare do that. Because it's faith in Jesus Christ alone, people. Alone. It's faith in Jesus Christ alone that will get you into heaven. Thank God that's why, for some few precious, privileged folk who live their lives alienated from Christ, for some few, there is still the deathbed conversion situation that happens, and it's a great thing to see. How can it happen? By faith in Jesus Christ alone. But Jack, I'm an okay kind of person. I'm okay. Don't ever think like that. Because you're not okay. You need Him so desperately. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And here's the text for tonight, verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Not of works. You see, the law was given to expose us our shortcoming of works. You can't do it. And you would back up and try again, you'd fail. You ever gone through those airport detector deals? They drive you nuts. Now, you like them because of the security thing, but it's crazy. And you walk through there. Beep! Can you please step up, Miss Sir? Can you step up? Okay. And you pull out, put your key. You go through your pockets. Okay, step through again, please. Beep! Okay, try it one more time. So you walk through there again. And you go through, and that thing just searches you and picks it just right there. And then if it goes off and they can't, and your pockets are empty, what do? Can you step over here, please? And then they do this wand thing. Up your armpits. It's like, oh man, and you're like this. It's weird. It's just weird. But they got to do it. And that thing is scanning, and you're going, there's nothing on me. I don't know, maybe your machine's broke. This is a true story. I was somewhere. And in fact, I think Dave, I think you were with me on this thing. And we're all running to get on this airplane. We flew from Estonia to Stockholm. From Tallinn to Stockholm. And we get there and everybody's getting on the plane. And so I'm getting on the plane. Can you step there? And I'm like, everything's off of me. And it beep. So they go, can you come over here, please? Oh, man, okay. So I go in this room. And they're just going all over. And then they hit my boots. And my boots have got metal toes on them. And they're going, me. So then, and they still weren't going to let me go. And they started asking me questions. So I'm thinking, well, I know I'm not some kind of a, maniac bomb guy or something. But somebody could have planted something somewhere. And maybe it's on my bags. I don't know. But, I'm not freaking because I'm not guilty. Well, you know what happened? In my bags, I had in my checking bag, I had a metal clipboard. And a rubber band around my metal clipboard. Well, that's not a crime. Well, I had a tape recorder strapped to the metal clipboard with batteries in it and wires. And when that thing went through the X-ray machine, it looked like a bomb. And so they're talking, asking me all this stuff. And then they start asking me stuff that really got me, what's your mother's maiden name? Well, if I told you, how would you know? I mean, you're Delta Airlines. What is this? I'm a long way from home. How are you going to know this? It's really weird. Well, come to find out, they went through my bags and everything was fine. And I get on the airplane, everyone's like waiting, Sit down and we leave. And it's just a crazy thing. The law goes and searches and scans and looks at me. Right here is an impure thought. Just one. Well, now we are going to become religious people and we're going to have a relationship with God and we're going to now live a new life. We're going to work really good at it. And that's okay. But don't for a moment, people, if anybody's in this room, please don't for a moment think that you're going to get to heaven because you don't set the detector off. Because that thing picks up certain things, but God's detector picks up even the thought. And even if we're trying to be good and work good at it, the thing is that we can't do it, and it's not by works. Why not? And I hope you get this. Isn't it funny that all around the world, you'll go around the world, and what's everybody trying to do who want to reach God? They're working toward it. Everybody. That ought to give you a clue right there. Salvation is of the Lord. It's freely given. Yet you go around where the gospel of Jesus Christ is not presented to people freely. And what are they doing? Man, they're working for it. Not by works, lest any man should boast. That means if there's works involved, men will boast. We're so good at it. I'm going to lead all of you into a deeper life with God. It's through this simple path of humility. And I've written my book, 100 Ways to Be Humble. I saw a guy on TV. I won't mention his name because you'll get upset with me. Oh. This guy, well, he did a message, and we happened to have caught him on TV. We came home one day. I was very depressed after a Sunday morning message. And so I just came home, and I sat down, and I just thought, Lord, I just like blew it, man. I blew the message. It was the worst. And I'm not the guy to be around after a Sunday service. And because, you know, there's the message you preach in front of the people, then there's the message you preach all the way home. And the one on the way home is always better than the one that you give to the people. And so I'm pretty depressed, so I turned on a television station nearby in Santa Ana that I will not mention. And so I'm watching this thing. And this guy says that, he says, you need to get this video, $29.95. He said, it is the greatest message that I've ever heard. And, wow, that's something. I got to hear this thing. And he goes, you send $29.95 in, the greatest message that I've ever heard, he said. And he said, you just send in right here. The phone number's on the screen. And that message was just delivered recently. And he said that message was on humility. And it was the greatest message I have ever given. I kid you not. I fixed my whole day. I felt great after that. But there's this guy up in Oregon, this cult guy. He's dressed in this thing. Maybe you've seen him. His name is something Bambi. Seriously. Shri Bambi, something like that. And his thing is, you know what? You want to make it to heaven? He says, the reason why you're not making it is because you've got all this material stuff attached to your life. That's what's wrong with you. And the way you get to heaven is you got to get rid of that stuff. And he says, I am the Redeemer. I'm not kidding. And he says, you know, you give me your material goods and I'll carry your burden for you and you'll be able to get into heaven. And people are doing it. The sad thing is they're psychologists, doctors, attorneys. They're doing this stuff. What is it that causes people to do these things? The rejection of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that salvation is a free gift. And it's an assault to any of us who want to work our way into heaven. We think we've got to do penance. That's not in the Bible anywhere. Oh my goodness, I've been so bad on Monday, I'll be good Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. That doesn't work. And we hope in the end that our good outweighs our bad. It doesn't work that way. He says, it's not by works, lest any man should boast. Turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 4. A little bit to the left. Romans 4, 4. Book of Romans, fantastic book. Actually, let's just go to verse 1, Romans 4, 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. He can brag to everybody. He goes, on my block, I was the nicest guy. I gave more money than anyone. In fact, the Melchizedek guy came by and I gave him some money and blessed him. And you know what? I was just the best. He could have said that toward men. And for any of us who are trying to work our way into the kingdom, you need to sit up and listen to this because, listen, I don't care how good you are. Your goodness does not outdo the goodness of Abraham, try as you may. But he had nothing to boast about in front of God. No way. And so it says, verse 3, for what does the Scripture say? It says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Isn't that amazing? Abraham had a born-again relationship with God before the law was ever given. Abraham believed in God and God justified him by belief. Abraham's faith in the Lord caused God to stamp him justified. Just if he'd never sinned. So Abraham might have been pretty good before men, but he wasn't perfect before God until God justified him by faith. He saw his faith and God says, you know what? Listen carefully. Your faith didn't save you, Abraham. The object that you're trusting in has saved you. And for that, you're justified. So free. It says, verse 4, now to him who works. Here you go. Now to him who wants to work his way into the kingdom, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. Okay, God, I don't need this grace stuff. That's for wimps. I'm going to work it in. So you start going and then you live a pretty good day tomorrow and, or today and you say, God, now you owe me. And God gives you, you know, a little thing on the little deal on the side, little change thing. Little nickels come out. Ice cream man's got on his hip. Here you go, 50 cents. Oh, great, man. So you get up the next day, everything's going great. I'm going to work my way. I'm going to keep these requirements. I'm going to keep these standards and I'm going to, and your heart's right. But you don't have the power to do anything to pull it all off. And you might come close. But the Scripture says if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty of it all. But you're trying and you get them, you have a really good day. And just think, go through the, it's a Tuesday. You go through a whole day. Monday was great. Tuesday was great. You get to the end of the day and you do what I did last night. You get in the shower. End of the day. Late. It's late. In fact, I think it was this morning. And get in the shower, shut the door, and I was at this the conference. So it's not my shower; it's you know some thing shower. It's not you know where everything your shower is. You can be blind, and it's like you know where it's at in your shower, not in this thing. I got in there, I turned around, and my elbow hit this the soap rack thing. It was like made out of razor blades, you know. And I didn't think anything of it. I just, wow, that's smart. Anyway, so I'm just kind of sudsing along, and the drain's getting red. And oh, man, what is this? You know. Now, that's all that went for me. I was just, man, what is this? But 18 years ago, I got saved on a Monday. It would have been Tuesday. I would have hit my elbow on that thing, and I wouldn't have said then, what is this going on? I would have asked, what in the, you know, and it's a, oh man! And all Monday was good, Tuesday was real good, and right at the end of the day, law, right? I blew it. Guilty. Now, I may have looked real good before men, but not before God. There's no men in my shower. There's nobody there. So before I got in there, I looked just fine before men. But God was in the shower. God's everywhere. He's in secret where we're at. He's in the places where we think nobody's looking, where nobody's listening. He's there. He hears it all and He sees it all. So we can't boast. But if we're going to work our way, we may have demanded from God 75 cents for Monday and Tuesday, but you know what? The moment we blew it on Tuesday evening, we lost it all. It's not of debt. It's not going to work. Verse 5, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for him for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God does not impute righteousness, or whom God imputes, that is, gives righteousness apart from works. Verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute sin. God no longer is keeping a record. Can you believe this? God is no longer keeping a record of my sin. You keep a record of my sin. And I keep a record of my sin. But God does not. And how that settles in your ear right now tonight determines where your heart is in your relationship with God. If you know Him, you say, yes, praise the Lord. If you don't know Him, you go, huh, that sounds like a pretty cheap thing to me. Yeah. It seems that way to you because you don't believe Him. You don't trust Him. You got a problem because Jesus says, you want to get in the kingdom? You come just like a little baby. You come like a little child. And God says, this is how people get into the kingdom. They are justified freely by faith, and I impute, that is, I give to them freely unearned my righteousness. Free. Can I add a little bit to that? No. You want to add to it? You do it on your own. But you're not going to goof up my perfect gift with your little thing. It won't work. It's like, did you ever do this when you were kids? It's like, you know, it's Mother's Day, you know, it's Mom's Day, and you go out and you're playing around with your little guy and you get your little plastic cup out there in the backyard, you mix up some dirt, add some water, put some grass shavings in there and the dandelion thing. Looks like one of those little umbrella cocktail deals. You go into Mom. Hi, Mom. You know, I want to give you something. And, you know, she's going, oh, that's so great, honey. Thank you so much. You know, bye. And she just pours the thing down the drain. It's toxic. You know, it's a dirt and mud floating around and bugs hanging around there. And it's not going to work. The little guy gave it with some intentions, you know. But it wasn't acceptable. And when we come to God through works like that, it's not acceptable. And if we try to work our way in there, the book of Hebrews tells us we have fallen from grace, for we go about to seek a righteousness of our own. Real quickly, salvation by grace will always in our lives produce humility, people. We mentioned it at the close of last week. When it says not of works, lest anyone should boast, he's saying to us that salvation by grace will always produce in the person humility. A person who is an arrogant Christian It is possible to be an arrogant Christian. I think you're backslidden, but you're arrogant. Well, you know, you go on with this thing about how great thou art. I remember when I used to struggle with this. I got it now. That's why Paul said, you guys better be careful over there in Corinth. You know, you think you're such a hotshot. That's the very thing you think you're tough in. Oh, I'll never fall to that. Oh, man, you're halfway there. Wealth can never bother me. That's a joke. You may have never had a problem with your wealth, but the moment you say it, imagine, Satan goes, what did he just say? Did he say that wealth never bothers him? Listen, he goes back to one of his buddies, you know, hey, slime face, go over here and make him even richer. See how he handles that. Paul says, be careful. That very thing you think you're strong in is the thing you're going to fall in. I can handle it. No, you can't handle it. But salvation by grace will always produce humility in our lives. It's not of us. It's of Him. It's not of works. Nobody can boast. Listen, it excludes all human achievement and pride. And I want you to grab this. Why did God select Paul the Apostle? Back then, Saul of Tarsus, Pharisee. Listen, in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, listen to the qualifications of Paul in the flesh and see if you can outdo this guy if you want to work your way into heaven. Because you're going to have to beat Paul. Philippians 3:3 says, for we are the circumcision. We're Jewish. Truly. Think about it. Who worship God in spirit. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29 says of us who have been circumcised of the heart that we are truly Jewish. Did you know that? How many of you are born again? Raise your hand. Wow. Look around. Look at all the hands. You can put your hand down. That's great. Neat. You know what? Did you have this experience when you got born again? Did you feel Jewish for some reason? Instead of like, man, I like all of a sudden want to go to Israel, and I don't know. It's weird, man. I got saved, and I got a Star of David. I went and bought one at the jewelry store. I just felt like I wanted to be a Jew, and then I came along to Romans 2, verses 28 and 29. And it says, he who is a Jew, he is not a Jew who is circumcised outwardly of the flesh, but he is a Jew who's been circumcised inwardly of the heart, whose circumcision is of the heart and not of the flesh. And that was the neatest thing. Wow. And you know what the word Judaism means? It means praise. To praise, praiser, a worshiper. That's what Jewish means, a worshiper. So Paul says here in Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. That means no circumcision, we don't trust in it. We don't trust in any baptism. That doesn't do anything to you. Taking communion is not going to save you. Doing penance, anything of the flesh, it won't work. No confidence in the flesh. Though I also, he says, might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, he says, I more so. And you go, man, that's a pretty big statement, Paul. And he goes, oh, yeah? Well, watch this. What day were you circumcised on? Seventh day. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Circumcised on the eighth day. What tribe or what nation are you from? Well, I'm from America. Big deal. I'm from Israel. Oh. What tribe are you from? Chino Hills Indians. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin.
Wow.
I'm a Hebrew, and not only a Hebrew, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He says, if you want to brag, he says, I can brag you under the table, pal. Concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. I could quote you any verse of the Bible, a drop of a hat. I could do Bible bash and whip you in a drop of a hat. He's just, I could even quote the verse before you got the last reference right out of your mouth.
Concerning the law, I was right on. The Pharisee, and listen, concerning zeal, I was so zealous that I went around having Christians killed. That's how zealous I was. Concerning the righteousness, can you say this? Concerning the righteousness which comes by the law, I was blameless. If you're going to get there by works, you're going to have to outdo this boy here. Listen to this. But what things were gained to me, all of this position and this gain, these I have counted loss for Christ. I love the word in the Greek, it's bandini. No, I'm kidding. It means bandini. It's garbage. He's going to say this in a moment here. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but bandini, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, which is really no righteousness at all, but he says, which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And isn't it funny tonight that the world thinks they can work their way into heaven? And the moment somebody comes into the presence of a worldling who is even viewed as being better than they, what does the world say? Did you catch that? Did I lose you? If the world out there is saying you need to work your way into heaven, the moment somebody who is better than them comes into their presence, you know what they do to them? Do you think they lift them up and say, you know, put them on a little gurney and lift them up high and say, hey, this guy's better than us. And we believe that you have to work your way into heaven, so look at him, he's really good. No, they don't. They say, you little self-righteous thing, you. The world gets all upset when somebody better than they walks into the room. Well, holier than thou. It bugs them. But yet they'll tell you their message, and their message is be good enough. Contradiction. No boasting's allowed. Romans 3:23, you know it well. Starting there, Paul says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished, to demonstrate at this present time His righteousness, that He might, God, might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. It's absolutely amazing. Do you tonight trust Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross? Now, our tendency might be to say, yes, I do. And in the foreseeable future, there's no possible scenario that's going to test us on that. You're not on your deathbed right now. The doctor hasn't told you today. You've got 25 minutes. You got an hour. So we can say that. We trust Him. We trust Him to take us into eternity by His sacrifice. We borderline call Him a liar concerning our mortgage payment this month by how we live. Oh man, what am I? I don't know if I can pay this bill.
my mortgage, my rents, oh, my, how are we going to eat? How are we going to eat? And we start to worry. And God says, don't worry about those things. I'll take care of you. But we're worrying. And we're supposed to trust Him to get us into heaven? Isn't it funny? We're trusting Him for the big deal. But we're freaking out over the rent. And for some, you go visit them at the hospital and listen, they don't care about what they're going to be eating. There's this question. Am I going to make it? And here's the question. He asked them. Well, we can find out right now if you're going to make it. Tell me what you believe about Jesus Christ. People, listen, everybody grab this. If you go visit your loved ones, don't spoon feed them the gospel. Do you understand what I mean by that? Don't go like this. If they're on their deathbed, don't say, Grandma, Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again from the dead, His blood washes us from sin. Do you believe that? Yeah, sure. Don't put the words in their mouth so for them to just go, yeah, sure. Don't do that. Say, Grandma, can you tell me right now what you think about Jesus Christ? Who is He? Just ask them who He is. Jesus said to the disciples, who do men say that I am? Not, are they swallowing the propaganda? No, He said, who do men say that I am? When you ask them, who do you think Jesus is? What are they saying? Well, some say you're Elijah. That's a wrong answer. Some say you're the prophet. Well, that's a wrong answer. Some say you're Jeremiah. Wrong. Peter had the right answer. He couldn't even take credit for it. Peter was probably about to say, I'm hungry. And the moment he went, you know, I'm going to say something because I don't know what else to say, so I'm going to say something. And he opens his mouth, and out of his mouth it says, Thou art the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven. That's where you got that. You couldn't think of that one on your own, Peter. And we ask people, who is it that you say Jesus really is? Well, He's a great guy. He went around doing all kinds of good stuff. That's not the answer. I think He's one of the greats. It's not the answer. You can say He was the person who changed the course of all human history. It's not the right answer, though it's true. It's not the right answer. And you can slip off into a Christless eternity. Why? Well, gosh, what's the big deal? Please understand this. A moment ago, you were thinking it's too easy to get into heaven by just having faith in Him. Now I'm telling you that it's got to be proper faith. And you're thinking, it's kind of narrow, isn't it? Isn't that funny? It means that you're going to pull up and sit right on Him and you're going to ride on His lap right into eternity and you trust for Him to stay still and take care of you. Do you believe that? That's the salvation that comes from grace alone. God's grace working in us. Grace and works, it's like oil and water. It's not going to mix. But because salvation works in your life and you have that grace, you're going to be producing works. But the works don't save you. Real quickly, and we'll wrap this thing up. Salvation, because it's by the grace of God, is eternally secure in Him. You can never lose your salvation. Listen, you can never lose your salvation because it was never found. It was given.
question tonight is, are you truly saved? I love what one commentator said. He says, your salvation was given apart from any works, and we must be careful to remember that though we didn't get it by any works, it is also true that by any bad works we cannot lose it, for it is by the grace of God as a gift given freely, and it is freely received. And a legalistic mind has a hard time with things like that. Paul tells us in another place that the law pays no dividends but death. The law can never compliment you. It sees no good in you. The law demands and points to Jesus Christ and to Him alone as its hero, because He alone fulfilled the law. But outside of Christ, the law has no hero. That's why the book of Ephesians is the book that says, those who are in Christ. And if you're in Christ tonight, the law looks and sees you in Him. I've told you this before. I can't think of any. I should have brought them out here tonight. I've got the little Matryoshka dolls. You've seen them. Many of you have them from Russia. And you know, the little, you pull them apart and it's the little guy, and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. They're really a lot of fun. But if I held the Matryoshka up and you were not familiar with that Matryoshka, you would think, well, that's a nice little wooden doll. You have no idea there's about 10 of them on the inside, because they're hidden inside the other. And that's how we need to be in the Lord. Grace produces strength to continue on. And we'll end with this thought right here. Grace produces strength to continue on. Listen, people, when we get tired in our Christian experience, burned out, it's because we've missed applying this great thing of grace. God's grace, it's upon us. We sing this song often on Wednesday nights. Listen, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. That's the Lord, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. He's wandering toward heaven. He's on his way. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. That is grace, to continue on. God will see to it by His grace. We will make it by His grace. One of my favorite verses, you're very familiar with verse 6. It's in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Great verse, you know it. It says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. But here's verse 7. Who are you, O great mountain, great obstacle? Who are you before Zerubbabel? You shall become a valley, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of works. Work, let's work it. No, it says with shouts of grace, grace unto it. You got an obstacle in your life? You got a marriage going goofball, crazy? Kids, wife, husband, job? Ask God, Lord, I need you to shower your grace on my life. What a funny thing. It's free. We run around, we got this cup. Oh man. And you look in the cup, it's all dry. No dust in it. I need grace. You're right. You need grace, man. Oh, I wish I had grace. God is saying, man, I got so much grace around here. I got to get rid of some of this grace up here. Oh, I need grace. I'm not going to make it. And God said, man, I got so much grace. We got to build more walls so we can hang grace on it. And I need more grace. And God's saying, He told James, He said, James, will you tell them that they have not because they ask not? Will you ask? God says, ask. Will you ask me? He just wants you to ask Him. Well, I don't know why I'm having such a difficult Christian life. When's the last time you asked Him to fill you up with His Holy Spirit? You're supposed to do it every day. I can set my watch to it. In fact, it's late. I need to stop, don't I?
You can set your watch to... When I start running out of power, the Lord goes... When's the last time you asked me for some super-duper power? When's the last time you asked me to fill you up? It's so convicting. Every morning He wants me to go out in His power. He's got all this grace, and He wants to fill up my cup so that it goes over and floods the place. And same with you. Grace! It's the power that gets us through. It's the freedom. We can depend on it. With shouts of grace. And grace assumes that there's a need in our lives, and there is a great need in our lives. But God wants to remove the obstacles from our lives by grace. And listen, it is the obstacles He has placed in our lives so that grace can be appreciated and received. Now I end with this. You can close your Bible even. We need to shout. We're not going to shout. We're not going to shout. We're not going to bark either. We're not going to laugh, so let's just calm down a little bit. But in our hearts, we need to shout unto the Lord and to that thing that's in our lives. God's grace will get us through this thing. God's grace. There was this little guy I grew up with. Some of you did too. Whenever there was an obstacle in his way, Felix the cat would always call for this guy. And he was a little guy, dressed really kind of weird. And Felix would need to go through a mountain. And he would get this little guy called Vavoom. Remember him? Any of you born back in 39? And Felix would point that guy to the big mountain, and that little guy would go, Vavoom! And he'd go a couple feet forward, Vavoom! And they'd get on the other side, and Felix would go, thanks! And that obstacle just became a tunnel. And Felix passed right through all the debris. We need to shout grace to the great mountains that keep us back and walk through like it's a valley. He's promised us. We need to ask Him. Let's pray. Lord, I know, Father, Your Proverbs tells us that the rock badger is a feeble folk, a feeble little gopher thing. But he has great strength, Your Bible says. Great strength, but he's got not one tool to defend him. He's got not one stinging tail. He doesn't have big fangs. He doesn't spit fire. He doesn't throw arrows or quills or anything like that. He's learned to hide in the rocky places and thereby has defense. Hidden in the rocks, he's strong. So nothing can come near him. Father, in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray for not only this body, for myself, Lord, that You would rain down upon us grace. Grace, Father, for every person's growth in this place. Grace to teach us to sing new songs of worship. Grace to walk outside there tomorrow with that crazy boss who's on our tail, or those co-workers who drive us up the wall. Maybe the spouse we go home tonight that will mock our Christian experience, what'd you do tonight? Grace that fills us up and gives us the power to go on. Grace that says, you can't work your way into my presence. I've given you a gift. It's free. Don't insult me like that. You take that gift and you enjoy my relationship with you. Grace. Oh Lord, I ask with my brothers and my sisters that You would rain down upon this church grace upon grace over and over again, that Lord, by Your grace, all that we touch would turn to praise and honor toward You, that all that we endeavor to do would be to Your glory. Father, we've become very comfortable in this warehouse. The opportunity now is before us to Lord willing, soon, possibly even move into a place. And Lord, the things about the bookstore and the coffee house and all these wonderful things in Russia coming up in a couple weeks. And Lord, the missions for the youth to go out across the states, Father, and the evangelistic ministries going out door to door and around the place. And Lord, the reaches or the outreaches, Father, the family, Lord, in Germany, Lord, and Alan Cecil, Father, in China. The things that are going on is nothing. Nothing but what we just want to do because You've saved us and You've been good to us. Thank You, God, we don't do these things thinking that somehow You're going to bless us for them. Somehow we're going to earn something. Strike it, O God, from the thought or the imagination if it ever has risen at all. For Lord, these are feeble things that we give back to You in our tokens of love. And the funny thing is You accept them like a cup with mud and grass and water stirred up, looking like a chocolate shake made out of the earth. It blesses You. Jesus, help us to be able to get up there on the tips of our toes, Lord, just to give You a kiss on the cheek. And Lord, if it's ever done, it's only because You've stooped down, gotten on Your knees, so we could reach You. Thank You, Lord, for Your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.